It's good to be with you this morning again. It's good to open up the Word of God and to get to know the Scriptures. Because the Bible tells us heaven and earth is going to pass away, but God's words will never pass away. So if you're going to build your life on a foundation that's going to endure forever, and a foundation that's going to last, then you want to build your life upon the Word of God. And that's it. You build your life upon the Word of God, and you obey the Word of God. If you want to know the life of the Spirit of God, you obey the Word of God. And last time I was speaking from the text from Hosea, chapter 12, verse 10. And I'm going to start there today again. And this is what the prophet said. I have also spoken by the prophets, and I have multiplied visions, and I have used similitudes by the ministry of the prophets. So one of the things that the Scriptures tell us is how you interpret the Bible. God has given you an example. And the Bible interpretation is that God uses similitudes. What is that? It is the state of something being similar, almost the same, or a feature that is similar, and we could say a comparison. And so God takes things and then uses them as a comparison. And we started off with our scripture where the man says, I see men as trees walking. So the scripture today, we're going to cover what we just mentioned briefly the last time we passed over it. It's the fig tree. Matthew 24:32, it says, now learn a parable of the fig tree. When its branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. And then in Luke chapter 21, beginning verse 29, and he spake to them a parable, behold the fig tree and all the trees. Fig tree for all the trees. Last time we spoke about different trees, the cedar trees. Last time we spoke about the word to Pharaoh. Who do you think you're like, Pharaoh? And then God goes to show, talk about the Assyrian who was a tall cedar tree, etc. And so here it goes, and when you shoot forth, talking about the branches, you see and know of your own selves that summer is now right at hand. And when you shoot forth, you see and you know your own selves that summer is now at hand. So we know what like it is when plants are in the different seasons, and we know the trees. It comes in round about May, and we see the leaves and the trees coming. And so God's taken the fig tree and he said, look, when you see the shoots going forward, you see the leaves coming, he said, you know that summer's near. So likewise, when you see these things come to pass, know that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. And here, the fig tree, we're talking about trees. And then the scriptures, the trees talk often about kings and kingdoms. And in Ezekiel chapter 31:5, which we covered the last time. Therefore his height was exalted above all the trees of the field, and his boughs were multiplied, and his branches became long because of the multitude of waters when he shot forth. And all the fields of heaven made their nests in his boughs, and under his branches did all the beasts of the field bring forth their young, and under the shadow dwelt all great nations. And we find that Nebuchadnezzar got the same type of dream about a great tree. And in Daniel chapter 4 and verses 20 and to 22 it says, the tree that you saw, which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto the heavens, and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and upon those branches the fowls of the heaven had their habitation. It is thou, O King, Thou art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reaches unto heaven, and thy dominion to the ends of the earth. So trees represented kings and kingdoms, but sometimes they represented other things. Ezekiel 15:6 talks about the vine tree. It says, therefore thus saith the Lord God, as the vine tree among the trees of the forest, which I have given to the fire for fuel, so will I give the inhabitants of Jerusalem. So God gives you these similitudes, he gives you these comparisons, and he talks about the vine. And if you ever spent time in the scriptures, you've got the vine, the true vine, Jesus Christ. And you've got the vine of the earth. And the vine of the earth is going to end up in the fire and be burnt. So Jesus is coming. And the whole, when they come to it, and Jesus starts to expound about learn from the fig tree. Learn from it. He starts to speak to them after he has been through all the events that are going to be happening in the world before he comes again. Now the fig tree in scripture, it represents self-righteousness. The fig tree is the first mention in Genesis 3:7, where Adam and Eve had to cut the figs to make the leaves for themselves for a covering. And Israel was always known for its religious self-righteousness. So when we come to the context of these verses, it is after Jesus has been expounding events that are going to come on the earth. Now the reason why this is important is because the events that are coming on the earth, people tell you, they've happened all the time. They've always happened through history, and to a great extent they have. But you see, as you're coming to the end of a dispensation, it is a culmination of these events and the severity of these events that start to make an impact upon humanity. The different signs that Matthew speaks about, and you find in Luke and the other Gospels, is one of the signs near the end of time that talks about the wars that are coming. Well, we know the 20th century was one of the worst worst in history in terms of people killed, in terms of people murdered, in terms of people in wars. Earthquakes, they have become more numerous and more powerful. And what you can expect to find is earthquakes happening in unexpected places. And you expect to see, and if you've ever been watching just the last couple of months, this continual eruption in Iceland. And there's eruptions in different places. There's eruptions under the sea. Then there is famines. You know famines are happening today. I read about China, where all their food is growing, they have drought. No rain. And then other parts of the country got rain where they don't need it. You go to the States, some of their major reservoirs are practically down to dangerous levels. And things are happening all around us. There's lawlessness. Yeah. Look at all the lawlessness in America in the last year. Do away with the police force. Please stand down, let the people just riot. Wild weather, climate change, a nice topic for everybody to enjoy. And man thinks that they are going to control the climate. Now, it's good to look after your environment. But see, the Bible said the climate's going to change. And one of the ways it changes, I was listening to Paul John Jackson, see when you have the earthquakes in different places, the earthquakes start to give you a wee tilt of the earth. Earthquake and earthquake, a wee tilt. What starts to come from these little tilts with all these earthquakes? The jet stream starts to get moved. And as the jet stream starts to get moved, the places used to have lots of rain discover the rain's not coming. Other places which were dry, they discover rain comes. And if you go to the book of Amos, what did God say in the book of Amos? I give rain to one city, but I don't give it to another city. See, God's in control. He's in control of all of these things. And so as we come and we look at the scriptures, we see all of these events becoming more pronounced. But what happens in the scriptures? God gives a prophetic revelation. He gives a prophetic revelation so that you know, okay, you see all these things and you're going to argue that they've always been. I'm going to give you another prophetic revelation. And I'm going to tell you the sign of the fig tree. And that sign is going to be unique. And so God starts to unfold the revelation of the fig tree. And in scripture we know the fig tree represents one nation. It represents Israel. And so the scripture starts to talk here about Israel. Now what is interesting is learn the parable of the fig tree when its branches go. And as I said, it's spoken after he's given all the things that have been happening in intensity in the world. And Jesus, when he speaks about the fig tree, you know, it's the day after he walked past the fig tree and he cursed it. The fig had laid but no fruit. And when Jesus passed that fig tree, it was in the time of March and April. And they went to get fruit and it had no fruit. And he cursed the fig tree. And the next day he spoke to the disciples about the fig tree. The parable of the fig tree. Learn from the fig tree. And so Israel as a nation, the Bible tells us, has to be back in their own land for the prophecies and all the events in the scriptures to come to pass. Now, I think which is interesting, in Ezekiel 36, God speaks, and he speaks to the mountains of Israel. And he speaks to the hills, and he speaks to the valleys. Not speaking to people, he's speaking to the land, to the hills, the mountains, the valleys. And he says, the heathen have polluted this land. The heathen have come into this land and they have polluted it with their idols. They have polluted it with their lies. They have polluted it with their lifestyles. And so God starts to speak about this. And in verse 8 he says, but ye, O mountains of Israel, ye shall shoot forth your branches and yield your fruit to my people of Israel, for they are at hand to come. So God speaks to the mountains and the hills and the valleys and says, you are now going to release your fruit to my people. Now when you go to the scriptures, what did the Bible say about the promised land to Moses? It is a land of milk and of honey. It is a land of plentiful. It is a land of abundance. But you know, when the people of Israel were scattered amongst the nations, what happened to that land? The Bible, you go through history, and you can find out the rain stopped coming to that land. The land started to become a desert place. And there is a well-known writer, Mark Twain, and he's in the 1860s, 1870s, and he's walking through this land, the land of Israel. He said it's a desolate place. He's gone up to Jerusalem. He can walk for days without seeing anybody. He said this land is a desolate place. Nobody is ever going to live here. You know what's so interesting about that? He was quoting scripture. He was quoting scripture and he had never, ever had an inkling to it. Ezekiel 36, 34. And the desolate land shall be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that passed by. The desolate land is now going to be tilled. And it lay desolate and the people passed by, and Mark Twain passed by, he said, it's desolate. Nobody's going to live here. But then God started to bring his people back. When God started to bring his people back, the rain started to come back. And the more people came back, the heavier the rainfall got. See, this is a unique sign to the nations. You've got your climate problems. You've got the earthquakes. You've got the famines. You've got the wars. But I'm giving you an extra sign which is unique. I am bringing back my people from the four corners of the earth. And so when the Jewish people began to return, the rains came. When they began to return, you know what happened? Their own Hebrew language was restored. The language that they spoke centuries ago. Everything started to be, because it was in the Word of God that it was going to be that way. Now why was it Israel scattered among the nations? The Bible tells us in Ezekiel chapter 36, beginning at verse 17, says, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own way and their own doings. Their way was before me as the uncleanness of an unmoved woman. Wherefore I poured my fury upon them for the blood that they had shed upon the land and the idols wherewith they had polluted it. And so you look here, why was judgment their idols, the blood upon the land? Their uncleanness, their perversion, their wickedness. And God said, I've had enough with you. And he said, and when they had entered into the unto the heathen, whither they went, they profaned my holy name when these people said, these are the people of the Lord, and they're gone forth out of his land. So God threw them out of his land because of their perversion and their wickedness and the bloodshed and the lies and the deceit. And the name of God that they bore was mocked by the nations. They are the people of the living God. Look at them, slaves, paupers. You know, every one of us who are known by the name of Jesus Christ, we carry the reputation of the living God in our lives. We carry that reputation wherever we go. And God looked for us to bear his reputation, for he is a God of eternity. He is from everlasting to everlasting. He never changes. And he looked for his people who bear his name to show glory and honor and to be a reflection of his glory. And here these people, they were cast out because of their wickedness. And the people of the nations mocked the living God because of these people's testimony. But you see, God had a promise. He had a promise of restoration. And in verse 22 says, therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes. I'm not restoring you for your sakes. You've polluted my name. You've caused shame. You've brought my name down into the dirt. He said, but I'm going to do it for my holy name's sake. For my holy name's sake, I'll restore you. You will be a witness to the nations before I come back again. Before I appear again, you will be the witness to the nations. I'm coming soon. And so he speaks to them, which ye have profaned among the heathen, whither ye went. Their reputation, wherever they went, they profaned the name of the living God. They profaned it. And God said, I'm going to restore you, but it's not for your sake, but it's for my holy name's sake. And he goes on, he says, but I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and bring you into your own land. Isn't that amazing? He said, I'm going to bring you from all the countries that I've scattered you to. And I'm going to bring you into your own land. And when you're brought back, you're going to speak Hebrew. when you brought back the land which has been desolate is now going to start to be fruitful. And we stand in these days where we see a land that was desolate being fruitful. We stand in a day where the Word of God came into being. Now let me tell you this about the Word of God. Many of the theologians, they all talk about from the book of Malachi to the Gospels. And they say we've got 400 years of silence. But they were never 400 years of silence. Daniel had already expounded everything that would happen within a 400-year period. And you go to history and everything that Daniel said is all laid out before you between the wars of Syria and Egypt, about Antiochus. All these things are there. All you had to do was read his prophecies and watch history. And we're in a time like that. We have the Word of God where God is working, bringing his people back, bringing abundance to the land, and the nations are blind. And God's people are blind because they don't know the day and the hour in which they're living in. God's promise also has a future for Israel. He says in verse 26, a new heart also I give them. See, when they've been brought back as they have at this moment, the Bible tells you they're going to be brought back in unbelief. But God has made a promise that what he's going to do in the days ahead. He said, I am going to give them a new heart also, and I will give them a new spirit. And I will put written within you, and I will take away your stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you take away your stone heart, and I will give you a heart of flesh. He said, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall dwell and keep my judgment and do them. And then again he says, not for your sakes do I this, saith the Lord God. Be it known unto you, be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. So, in this Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew 24, when they've asked about, Lord, when are you coming? What's going to be the signs of your coming? And what's going to be the signs of the end of the age? So Jesus gives them all the specific signs which are going to become as a crescendo, but he gives them this one thing. The house of Israel will be back in the land of Israel. Now I did a theological book. And in that book they said, Israel being in the land is just an accident. See, we have people who do not believe the Word of God. But his Word endures forever, and his Word never fails. It's not only Ezekiel who spoke the words. Jeremiah spoke words as well. In Jeremiah 31:10. He said, hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, he that scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd doth his flock. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. So we are at this time not far away, but God is going to make a new covenant with them. Not according to the covenant he made with his fathers, but God is going to make a new covenant, a better covenant. Because the covenant they made with their fathers, they failed to keep it. But he says here, when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. And then he goes on to say, but this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, I will put my law in their heart, their inward parts, and write in their hearts, and shall be their God, and they shall be my people. So God's promises and God's word never fail to come to pass. We are living in these times when we have seen God keep his word and bring his people from the nations where they've been scattered, and he continues to bring them back to Israel. And the restoration was prophesied by Jeremiah. In Jeremiah 31:35, thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves are off, roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel shall also cease from a nation before me forever. And thus saith the Lord God, if heaven above can be measured, and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, I will cast off the seed of Israel for all that they have done, saith the Lord. Notice two things that have to happen before God to cast off Israel. The ordinances defined as the sun, the light by day, the moon, the stars, for light by night. And if you can measure heaven, if you can go and you can measure heaven and you can discover what is the foundations of the earth. And I tell you, not one person on this earth can do that. Nobody knows and can measure heaven. Only the sons of God were there in Job when God laid the foundations of the earth. And even them probably struggled to understand how it was done. And it even goes further, because Isaiah 66:22 says, for as a new heaven and a new earth which I make shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. Now these things are important, because Israel has many enemies. But God says, I have brought them back, and they're not going to be moved. I have brought them and established again as a witness to the nations for my name's sake, and they will no longer be removed from the land. And so that's why when we come back to Luke 21:31, it says, so likewise, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all these things be fulfilled. The generation that sees all of these things being brought into being and Israel being established, 1948 it became a nation, 1967 they got their capital, Jerusalem. And God is saying, the generation that sees all these things. And of course the question comes, how long is a generation? But in Genesis 15, the generation was 100 years. And the Bible says, the generation that sees all of these things is a generation that's going to see God coming back again. It's going to see the restoration of God's kingdom and his righteousness. And the Bible goes further, because in Matthew 23:13, it says, because of all these things, it says, watch. Watch, therefore, for you know not neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. It's going to be within that generation, but you don't know what part of that generation. It might be at the very end, it might not be. But he said, watch, because that's the Son of Man is coming. So you take the fig tree, learn a parable of the fig tree. It is telling you that summer is coming. It is telling you the fruit is coming. It is telling you God's kingdom is coming. The kingdom of righteousness and peace. A kingdom that's set up on this earth. And why do you see so much perversion around the world? Why do you see so much against Christianity, so much wickedness? Because it is the last stand of Satan to turn the hearts of people against the living God. Because he knows the scripture better than any one of us. He knows the day that Israel got established again, his days were shortened. He knew his time scale was very, very short. And so we as the people of God, we have got to know what the scripture says, because it's time to stir yourselves up and not be sleeping into disaster. Not to be unaware, because the Bible is telling you, watch, You should know what is happening. You should not be afraid. You should not be downhearted. You should be rejoicing and praying and declaring the promises of God. For all of his words come to pass. The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. Everything he declares comes to pass. And you have to stir yourself up and see what is happening and take your stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because his word never fails. And he's not wanting you to be like the children of Israel who polluted his name in front of people. You're to carry the name of Christ. You're to have carry that with honor and with glory so people see Christ in you. That people see the living God that you serve. And he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. And he's laid out in his word things that must shortly come to pass. And we are living in these days of prophecy being fulfilled. So it's time to be stirring up. It is time to be aware. People need the Lord. People need to be saved. People need to be rescued from an undone eternity. People need to be brought into the kingdom. Because that's why Jesus died. He died to save. The Bible says he came to seek and to save those who were lost. He didn't come for those who were whole. He came for those who were sick. Those who needed a physician. He came to heal the sin-sick soul. He came to give eternal life. He came to reveal the Father to each one of us. And so the word of God is given. And people can say, oh, about all the signs. They've happened, they've happened, they've happened. But when they say, but Israel never happened before. After 2,000 years brought back, what nation has been brought back? What nation now speaks its original language? What nation does the land respond to, which lay desolate for 2,000 years? You see, the word of God is a living word. And we are in the days where the word of God has been fulfilled and before us. So it's time to stand, declare that God never fails. He endures forever, his word endures forever, and his word always comes to pass. So let's stand today firm in the word of God, firm in our confidence in the Saviour who has come to reveal his heavenly Father and to give us eternal life. Let us have confidence today that our God is able to do miracles and is able to save, heal and restore and make all things new. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father, that your love for people outstrips, Lord, all the love of humanity put together. Your care, Lord, that you want to rescue and to save, and you give signs. You give signs so that people are not ignorant of the day in which they live. And so, Father, we thank you that your word endures forever. And we stand declaring your word today. And we say, thank you, Father, that the Holy Spirit leads us into all truth. That the Holy Spirit takes the things of Jesus and reveals them to us. And so we give you glory this day. We give you honor. And we declare your faithfulness to your word and your revelation to us of your word. In Jesus' name.